Hey me, hey you, data broker, I hardly know her. This is Stranger Still. Stranger Still, the podcast where I made John do the dirty work while I was on vacation last week, so it's my turn to do the dirty work all by myself. It's me, Nick Wood, your friend. Normally on the show, we talk about kind of weird stuff, but since it's just you and me this week, I thought I'd do something a little more low-key and a little bit more hands-on. I don't know what else to say. I have been working on this for 2 weeks. It's nothing big, but something interesting happens when, if you look in the show notes of every episode of Stranger Still, we say, if you've got a strange question you want answered, ask us on Facebook, tweet us at Stranger Still, or drop us an email at podcast@strangerstillshow.com. Now, in order to get our podcast out there to as many people as possible, we also include tags on all of these. We have things like conspiracy theories, protests, banana wars, I'm just going down the list here, exotic pets, coronavirus, misconceptions, reflexology, chiropractic, cabin fever, census, astrology, alternative medicine, reforestation, CBD, Amityville horror. We have all kinds of things. So when you marry these two up, and you have 200 and some odd episodes of this thing, you tend to get a lot of interesting customers. Because what happens is there are little scripts that companies run out there that scour the internet looking for email addresses and look for the pages that they're attached to. And it's not dissimilar from what Google does. Google goes out there, they scan the pages, look for context on the page so that when someone types that into their website, it brings your page up. It's finding out what if what you're providing will be of interest to the person searching on Google. This is similar to what these data brokers are doing. They send out this script, it finds an email, and it says, oh, this page is talking about CBD oil, or this page is talking about black holes, or this page is talking about the healthcare industry in general. And it takes that email address, and it pairs the two up, and it emails them to say, hey, we see that you're interested in the healthcare market. Would you be interested in paying for a bunch of data on people that are involved in the healthcare market? And this, my friends, is called data brokerage. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because I think that this is on, it's on the skirts of people's minds. I think people know that there's people out there selling data. But when you talk about privacy breaches or selling of information, people always think of like Facebook or Google or the big dogs like that. When in reality, there are at least 112 data brokerage companies out there, which is a number I'm getting from Fast Company. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more, simply because I don't think the people that reached out to me are the people anywhere on their list. I just confirmed that. The companies, the data brokerage companies that reached out to our email address are not in this list provided by Fast Company. So there's well over 112 data brokerage companies out there just ready and chomping at the bit to turn your information into a product. Now, one thing that I'll say as we go through this is if something is free, typically you are the product. That's a refrain that I've heard a lot, and I don't know that enough people have heard. That's why companies like Honey, the internet plugin that gives you coupons, make it very clear that you are not the product. They make a deal with the website and they get a little bit of a kickback. But say, I don't know, a free VPN service or something like that. It's free, which is great, but they have to be able to keep these servers across the world and pay people to upkeep the servers and whatnot. They're making money somehow, and they might not be selling you but they're selling the things that you do, the websites that you go to, the content that you crave, the videos you watch. They're selling that information, and that's how they're upkeeping their servers. Now, there's all kinds of data brokers out there. I will point that out. There are the ones that I am getting emails from are called B2B or business to business. And they're on what I'd say more of the moral gray area than the legal gray area. There are the more famous data brokerage companies focus on marketing to say this person is interested in cats and cars, and they are center of the political aisle, and we can go to that person and say, hey, you need cat food. I know you do because you like cats. So here's some brand new cat food on the market that we think you'll enjoy. And they send ads out to that person on various websites based on this profile built on you. The other thing is, and I don't think a lot of people know this, which is important because there are good ways that this can be used. It still sounds a little shady, but there's like risk management data, risk analysis data out there, where companies will say, hey, we need to figure out if this loan is going to be a high risk or a low risk. So they'll reach out to data brokerage companies to get a profile on you and say, is this person high risk or low risk? And then they can base your loan interest rate based on that. Kind of shady, not illegal. The other thing is, when you're getting a loan, is the data that you are providing accurate? So if you put out there, my references are Susie Lee, she works for Walmart, and she really likes drawing dragons in her free time. They'll go to data brokerage companies and say, hey, is this person real? And the data brokerage company will come back and say, yeah. And the company will go, oh, thank goodness, we just thought that they made that up on the spot. And totally not made it up while recording a podcast. And they can use that to say, all right, yeah, we trust you. Your claims are real. Here's a loan. But those, unfortunately, are a little bit more useful than, say, the marketing or the B2B, which I still claim is marketing. People will separate out data brokerage categories into, like, customer management. I'm looking at Fast Company again. Customer management, advertising technology, business IT, all this marketing data, all of this funnels into selling a product. And this is where it gets into a little bit of the legal gray area. Technically, none of what these people are doing is illegal in the United States. There are some states pushing laws, like I think Vermont put a law out there to tighten the privacy on data brokerage. But it's not illegal in the United States. It is illegal. Some of this has been tightened down in the European Union. But it's not illegal because if they're not getting permission for this data, then it is illegal, which is why when you are signing up for a service, there might be a checkbox that says, I would like to receive marketing materials. And below that, there might be another checkbox that says, I give permission for my data to be shared with third party. Or even more shady, because no one ever reads these, it could be hidden in the terms of service. You'll see this a lot, where companies will say that they have the right to share your data with third party. And this could be something as innocent as a website uses a third party to provide, like, a checkout service. So they need to be able to transfer your account data to the checkout so that you can buy a product from the website. Unfortunately, and we have no way of knowing the difference, is it also means, hey, I have your phone number, I have your name, I have your address, I have your email address, I have your credit card information, I have your social security number in some cases. I now have the right to share that with a third party. It's rare that they would be sharing credit card information or social security information, but it is out there. And if you're agreeing that they can sell it to a third party, now it's out there. A lot of companies will also use your web history, your search history, that sort of thing. Getting that down into the nitty-gritty, they could also get your age and gender. They can get your level of income, your level of education, what your job is, and where you work. And they, all of these companies, the thing that I've been skirting around is all these companies, they get this data. Usually they will pay the company for it. So this is where, like, a free VPN service comes in. They go to the VPN service and say, hey, we need information. We'll give you money for it. VPN service says, sure, that's $500. They hand it over, and bada bing, bada boom, the data brokerage now has all that information. They take that information, they load it up into a database, and they break it down into geography, line of business, income levels, race and ethnicity, anything that you could possibly want. And I know this because the emails that I've received from these companies, I tried to be a little funny with these guys at first, but then I was like, hey, I could really get something out of this. So to take a step back, I received a bunch of emails from all kinds of expos and conferences that they had attendee lists for various expos or whatever. I got one from, and I'm going to say these because I want people to know if you attended these, your data might be in a database somewhere being sold. The Mid-Atlantic Dog Expo 2020, the World Medical Cannabis Conference and Expo, the Material Art Fair, USCAP 109th Annual Meeting, Midwest Cannabis Business Conference. And then there was just a list of wine enthusiasts and healthcare professionals. The wine enthusiasts also included things like beer enthusiasts, liquor enthusiasts, beverage, food, spa and resort visitors, entertainment enthusiasts, timeshare owners, real estate investors, real estate agent brokers. And then the healthcare industry professionals asked me to specify if I would be interested in anesthesiology, cardiology, chiropractic, dentist, emergency medicine, family practice, gastroenterology, gynecology, hematology, internal medicine, neurology, obstetrics, genealogy, oncology, and so on, optometry, surgery, psychiatry, radiology. And you reply back and you say, hey, yes, I'm interested, or I'm interested. And this is where I was being a little coy. I said, I would be interested, because they ask you for geography as well. I said, I would be interested in radiologist in Southwest America. Just curious about pricing and amounts. I do have a couple other questions as well. I don't see a website linked in your emails. Their website can reference in the event that I would like to use your services in the future. Also, where are these contact lists procured from, and how do I address the recipients? I got directed to a gentleman named Aaron that works for Gilbert Data, and here's what I got. Criteria, radiologist. Target location, Southwest USA. Counts, 3,821 contacts. Our pricing is driven by volume. Higher the amount of contacts you are interested in acquiring from us, lower the cost per contact, and vice versa. For the volume that you are looking at, given below are the investment options. Option 1. Total number of contacts, 3,821 contacts with complete information, contact name, job title, credentials, practice or facility name, direct email address, website, phone number, fax number, mailing address, zip code, city, state, SIC code, employee size, revenue size, industry classification, etc. Option 2, 3,821 contacts with contact name, practice, facility name, direct email address, and phone number. The first option, which is clearly the better one because you get three times the amount of data plus an et cetera, who knows what that means, is $1,300 for almost 4,000 contacts. Option 2, with just what, 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces of information, is $800. Their most recent update was completed on the 14th of May, 2020, which I'll circle back around to. And they said the data compilation, our coalition and aggression method are unique and is what sets us apart. Although our sources are proprietary when it comes to types of contact, our primary sources of information are through market research, URL research, conferences, trade shows, newsletter subscriptions, pay royalty to publication houses, resellers data capture, and clients who have signed up with us. There's a lot to unpack there. So what they're saying is you go to a website, that web activity is cataloged and then sent over to them. You go to a conference or a trade show, they get the attendee list, put it in their database. You sign up for a newsletter on a website, they get your information, they put it in a database. They also pay publication houses like a magazine publisher or something like that. Get your data, put it in the database. Now, what I learned from another email is, at these conferences, they pay thousands of people to attend these conferences and just go around collecting business cards. So if you go to one of these conferences and you have like a little rack with your business card sitting on it, there's probably a person who's paid to go around and pick those up. They take those, type them all into their database, and now you're a product. All of a sudden, you were at the Gynecologist Expo of 2020, and you have your name, your practice, and your email and phone number all on this business card. They know your area of work. They know your name and all that stuff. You're officially a product. Congratulations. On this other guy, I reached out as far as I could on the Mid-Atlantic Dog Expo 2019-2020. For 15,354 contacts, which includes names, title, email, phone, company name, company URL, company physical address, SIC code, industry and company size, revenue and employee count, I could get all that for $500. This stuff is cheap, honestly. And I said, yes, I'm interested. They sent me a PDF with a purchase order that you mail a money order to them and you get an Excel data file with all of this stuff. Now, what I said before was the last update on the database was May 2020, something like that. What they do before they send, well, I guess at these regular intervals, they'll send an email to every single email in their database to make sure that it's still active. They may even call the phone numbers to make sure the phone numbers are all active. They say in their email their rate of accuracy. We guarantee up to 90% on data fields and 85% on email deliverability. They're sending out these emails to make sure that they're still active. And if they're not, you'll get a replacement or a refund. They either do that by manually calling them. They have the nature of verification, manual or auto verification. So they might just have a newsletter that goes out to all these emails to make sure that they're still active, or they might pick up the phone and call these people. Now, to close this all out, the reason I bring this all in front of you is because I don't think people understand the level that this goes to or how cheap all of this information really is. On the Fast Company article, they got thousands. Let me get the exact number here. Oh, this wasn't even Fast Company. This was Clear Code. For 1,000 people's information, they got it for $79. It's a $200 billion a year industry. That, it leaves me speechless. It's so concerning. And I know that previously I've said, I don't care who has my information. I care who sells it. If someone's out there and I'm on a list of Midwest podcasters or something like that, and they have my email address, they have my phone number, they have my location, they have my website, all that stuff, and they're using it to make what is it? Less than a dollar on me? 50 cents on me? Not only is that offensive, it's also really creepy, and I'm not comfortable with it. So back to my original point, I want people to recognize when you're checking a box below a terms of service, or even within, you skip over the entire terms of service, you know what you're getting yourself into, and you know where your data might be going. I don't think that there's enough eyes on this, at least in the United States, because there aren't a lot of laws around it. Now, if this is something that concerns you, like it did for the state of Vermont, you can do something about it. You can write your congresspeople, you can call them, and you can always vote for people that care about your privacy. That's always important to vote, doesn't matter. So I know this is a little bit of a weird episode, but it's more of a PSA than our other episodes. It's also all over the place. This was something that I'm weirdly passionate about, so it's hard to get all my thoughts together, weirdly enough. But hopefully it was enlightening. And if you found it enlightening, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/group/strangerstill. You can also email us. Hey, do that. podcast@strangerstillshow.com. Good or bad, we love hearing from you guys. So send that our way, and we'll see you next week. I'm Still Nick, and this is Stranger Still.